It's football at four. Here's The Drive with Denver Broncos Ring of Famer Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
How'd that work out? How'd that work out? How'd that work out?
How did that work out? D-Mac, Tom Nalen, football at four. Here is John Elway on quarterbacks.
What about them? They're on the board.
Okay. How about trading up or trading back for quarterbacks?
Yeah. That happens every year, you know. So I mean, it's whether they want to move or not, they're going to make some calls, and so. But until you get close enough, I think there's no compensation that's been thrown out there as far as I'd like, we'd like to come up to 10 for X or, so there's been no compensation discussed.
But the pick has, maybe, right?
Maybe. Yeah, he said that, nobody asked about Kyler Murray because that's, like a joke. But Dwayne Haskins, Drew Lock, Daniel Jones, they're all on the board, whatever that means. How do you feel about the quarterbacks? I haven't really asked you about your quarterback feeling. Like, where are you with these guys?
Haskins to me seems like the safest choice.
Why is that?
Because he looks like an NFL-style quarterback. He doesn't run a lot, big arm. There's only one season of him, though. And he could not. He's young. I think he's a sophomore football-wise. And he couldn't beat out a guy that was a undrafted free agent the year before. But the one year he did have was fantastic.
Yeah.
He looks like an NFL quarterback. Some of these other guys do not.
Who does look like an NFL quarterback?
Drew Lock, his completion percentage sort of bothers me. It got better as a senior, but not against good teams. Now, is that a lack of talent at Mizzou when you play some of the bigger SEC teams, Alabama, teams like that? Or is it that he kind of shrunk from the competition, got nervous?
I was talking to a NFL scout today, and he told me the issue on Drew Lock, small hands. Mm-hmm. And completion percentage.
Yeah.
That was
it got better as a senior, which you'd like to see. You'd like to see a guy getting better throughout the years. Haskins, we don't know because he only had one year.
Right.
But the year he had was fantastic. I like the fact that he's not all that mobile, too, because the NFL doesn't dictate that.
Right.
You need to be mobile enough to kind of get out. Is Ben Roethlisberger mobile?
No.
Not at all.
Eli?
But he knows that these guys know how to be in the pocket, though, because they don't have the experience of being mobile.
Roethlisberger will hang in there.
He hangs in there, but he knows how to.
He'll take a hit.
He takes hits. He'll take sacks, but he's also able to. He's used to having chaos around him,
and that's Haskins.
He doesn't run from it.
That's Haskins too,
right? Which I like.
What about
one concern is the 1 year.
It was interesting to talk to this particular scout and hear about the hands thing and the completion percentage, and there's a reason why Drew Lock has kind of fallen down the board a little bit, or at least there's speculation.
We only talk about him here because we know that John Elway went to see him in person.
That's right.
During the season.
And he came here. He did come here for a visit. There's been definitely enough interest in Drew Lock from the Broncos' perspective.
There's the Daniel Jones, the dude from Duke.
Yep.
The problem I have with him is, if you've ever seen him play, he'll take off from the pocket. And he's idiotic. He's this tall, rangy dude.
Yeah.
And he'll just get lit up. And if that's part of your game, to me, you're not going to last very long. Look at Andrew Luck.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a dude that would run a lot at Stanford when things broke down. I'd rather have a guy improvise in the pocket if you're this tall. Mahomes isn't that tall. He's elusive. He's a different type quarterback. There isn't really, other than Kyler Murray, that type of guy.
It was funny to see Josh Allen, quarterback for the Bills, run so much this year. And I would guess Daniel Jones would probably, be the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
But, and Drew Lock may be the same thing, too, by the way. He may have that sort of instinct. Paxton Lynch certainly did. So did Tebow. All these young quarterbacks.
They were in mobile offenses as well.
Mm.
Their offenses dictated them to move a lot. The whole pocket would move as well.
All right, well, let's go down some of the other guys then, because you're obviously not very high on Daniel Jones. Drew Lock is a concern. You like Haskins is your guy.
Finley.
Well, they've been
the
with
dude's him. Like 29 years old. He couldn't beat the guy out at Boise, and so he goes to NC State. He's old. I'm not crazy about that. He should be going to his third year in the NFL at this point. He is 24, which to me that's pretty old.
Will Grier. What about Will Grier?
It's the offense. It's not Will Grier himself.
What do you think, though, about Will Grier?
It's hard to... he's one of the guys that I always say, that's why I'm happy with Flacco, because you know what you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about Will Grier. It was such a funky offense they had. Are you okay? Can you see him going, man, he's going to be a great NFL quarterback?
No, I cannot. But I can see him being there in the second round and the Broncos taking him. Because
for what? Developmental?
Yeah.
You're going to waste a second.
I know.
See, this is what you do. You go 2-4. Wait, yesterday you tell me 2-4, never use it. Don't draft a quarterback from 2-4.
That's my idea, yeah.
But now you're saying I could.
It's not my idea. I can see the Broncos thinking that way because they have
so much value in a second round pick. That's depth or a frontline starter, O line, D line, possibly a tight end. Inside linebacker, somebody that can cover a tight end.
But if you want Will Grier, you probably got to use a second round pick on him.
He's not worth it because you don't know what you're getting. This is going to be, you draft Will Grier 3 years from now, you're going to be like, they drafted Will Grier with that pick. They could have had this Pro Bowl player.
Tight end, defensive end.
Earl Thomas type thing.
That's right. That is my biggest problem.
People say, oh, it's a second round pick. Second round pick's a high pick.
No doubt about it. Your first three picks should be starters.
Does Will Grier look like a West Coast offense quarterback? Nobody can say yes.
Okay. Clayton
Thorne. You can't say no either, but nobody knows.
So rounds 2-4, you would stay away from the plague. If you're going to take a quarterback, take him in the first round. Other than that, just wait.
The only reason why I say first round is the fifth year, and to get back into the first round.
And that is the most fascinating part, because you're just not as – you're not quite as – all in as if you pick the guy at 10. But
right.
You still get the benefit of the fifth year.
Because there's so much quality at 10 versus 26.
You're probably okay, too, with 2 years of development for that guy instead of just 1 year like Patrick Mahomes and away you go.
The pressure isn't there
it's
as
not
much
even close.
To get him on the field.
And by the way, this to me is the difference between picking a quarterback at 29, 30, 31, 32, deeper in. When you move up in the 20s, like they moved up to get Paxton Lynch. They moved up to get Tim Tebow in the mid-20s. When you move up, all of a sudden that pressure's there again.
Right.
You pick a guy.
He's giving something up to move up.
You pick 29, 30, 31, 32. Who cares? It's just, hey, he's really.
Yeah, but what are you giving up to get back in there?
Well, we looked at it. Lamar Jackson, they gave up a couple of second rounders and like a future third or fourth, something like that. It's not really that bad. You may be giving... All right, I'll give it to you. You may be giving up, depending on who you pick, at... Well, hopefully you can move down. That's the key. Hopefully you move down to like 17, 18, something like that.
You move down, you pick something up.
That's right.
Then you can use what you picked
that's
up
right.
to move back into the back end of the first round.
That's the idea.
But every team's thinking that.
Everybody wants to do the same thing. So I'm talking to this scout today, and I'm like, well, what about the bottom end of the draft? He goes, yeah, they'd all like to move. Because if you're like the Rams, you're 31. You just went to the Super Bowl. They don't really care that much about the fifth-year option on that particular guy when they got to fill in. They have 31 and 62. So they would love to have like 41, 56, and 62.
Right. Amass some assets.
Yes. They would do that in a heartbeat. So it's really not that hard to find a team at that area. It's what the Ravens did last year. And look, they got a starting quarterback out of it, whether you like Lamar Jackson or not. All right. When we come back, though, Tom... The Chris Harris saga. It took an interesting twist today with John Elway, for sure. You'll hear it next.
Now, Now back to The Drive with Denver Broncos Ring of Famer Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
All right, here we go about Chris Harris. So, we got a couple cuts here about John with Chris. So, let's run these down.
Here we go. I don't have time right now, so we're busy with the draft.
All right, this is why they haven't done a new deal with Chris.
I don't have time right now, so we're busy with the draft, and we'll talk about Chris. He's on the contract, and so we'll talk about that when the draft's over.
Well,
I just want you to say something. When I say this, I said we're going to talk about it. That doesn't mean we're going to do anything.
I always love when you're done and the reporters are ready to move on, but you got something else you want to say.
Yeah, throw a little dig in there.
Mm-hmm. Because that's he's been thinking about that.
Mm-hmm. Has he? Hasn't any time. It's a draft.
Well, right. Time is a tricky deal, right?
There's no doubt he waited and then came back to it. He waited for the reporters to move on or ask a question
right.
And went back to it. That was on purpose.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
Hear it again.
I don't have time right now. So we're busy with the draft and we'll talk about Chris. He's on the contract, and so we'll talk about that when the draft's over.
Over. The conversation's over, but hold on. John wants to throw something in.
I just want you to say something. When I say this, I said we're going to talk about it. That doesn't mean we're going to do anything.
Take that for data.
That's on purpose. I hate seeing players treated that way, like that. He didn't need to add that little jab in. Did he?
No.
We talked about this earlier.
John's got his own ego.
You can't think John Elway, the player, and I never have since he's had this job. He immediately made the switch over to executive. Mm-hmm. He has no memory of being a player, negotiations, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So he is full on board. He is executive side. He's management side. There's no part of him that remembers being a player from negotiation part.
Here's the, so are you displeased he's not, you know, John, are you upset that Harris isn't there?
No, you know, it's voluntary. So they're welcome to do, you know, it's voluntary. So we appreciate all the other guys that are here because they don't have to be here. So I really appreciate them being here voluntarily, you know, and working on the game.
Another little dig.
Yes, sir.
I'm okay with Chris Harris not being here.
All right, one more. Have you thought about trading Chris Harris?
I haven't even thought about that, Mike, so no. I haven't got there. So, like I said, we'll talk about Chris's contract when the draft's over and see what they're looking for.
It's another one. We'll see what they're looking for.
They have no idea. I can guarantee you it's at least $11 million in a cent.
Do you think it's a mystery what they're looking for?
At least a penny more than they just gave away to another corner.
Yep. Now here's the tricky part. The Broncos, John, is well within his rights to say everything he just did there. You sign him to a contract. He's got another year left.
You don't
have to pay him a dime.
He's using the media to get his point across to Chris Harris.
That's right.
But the point is going to piss Chris Harris off.
No doubt about it.
So what's the point at all?
By the way, hey, Richie,
you want to anger your players.
Well, let me look if Chris has responded on social media, which we found out today John Elway doesn't care about. Darn social media. Dang social media.
So much like Tommy Maddox, Dan Reeves getting mad at John Elway and still drafting Tommy Maddox to prove
right,
a point.
Right.
To get him mad. The same thing he's doing to Chris Harris.
That's right.
Now, I'm not advocating for the Broncos to renegotiate Chris Harris's contract because he's been such a great player in the past. You need to pay the player for what he's going to do for you in the future.
Yeah.
Matt Paradis made a comment, and it's the only thing I disagreed with. He said, you know, I've busted my butt for this team, and they need to pay me what I'm worth because of what I've done for the team. No, the team needs to pay you for what you're going to do for the team, not for what you did in the past. The past means nothing. Thank you. Good job. It's what they think you're worth in the future. And Chris Harris is worth more than for the future more than he's getting paid
well,
now.
It's funny you say that, because couldn't John Elway be evaluated under the same parameters?
Well,
or do you say...
Wait, which past are we choosing?
Well, this is the
most recent?
Well, what is it? Is it the guy?
Super Bowl?
Is it? Or is it the past 3 years and specifically the past 2 years? What is it?
You got to take the totality of it all, don't you?
Tell me.
You have to. The NFL ebbs and flows. Except for one team, everybody's up and down.
But that's not true of a player? Are players not allowed to have bad years?
Did he have a bad year?
Chris, no. He got hurt. But he didn't have a bad year. No.
No. I haven't seen him have a bad year.
But he's going to be.
I've seen him have maybe a bad game.
He's in his 30s and he's coming off an injury.
See, everybody's going to make the connection to Champ and them giving Champ all that money, and then Champ all of a sudden just the wheels fell off.
Right.
But you can't do. You just can't. Oh, he's a corner. He's in his 30s. It's going to happen. The same thing's going to happen. You can't do that. And Chris Harris, he was a safety at Kansas. That dude can make the transition to safety for a couple more years. And what do safeties get in these days? Ridiculous amounts of money.
They're the hot new item.
Yeah, because they can tackle, they can cover tight ends.
They're linebackers.
The NFL is all about nickel defense now. Those guys are walking down into the box now. So they can cover and still play the run. And Chris Harris can do that. So even if
you see Chris Harris moving to safety?
I could see it. I couldn't see Champ doing it, but Chris Harris has a history of it. He's done it. So I don't want to pay him based on what he's done in the past.
So you like John taking some shots?
No, I don't. Because he's using the media to piss off a player. What's the point of it? Is it for negotiations? Is this the whole reason why he came back to the microphone to say, oh, by the way, we just want to talk about it. I'm not saying we're going to do anything.
Right.
He's under contract. We have him.
He's making that point.
He is. Not very subtle either, to me.
When we come back, Von Miller and the Hammerhead Shaq. Also, do you want to do your offensive lineman breakdown with the...
Did I say it was O-lineman?
Oh, I thought you did. No?
It's a random player.
I'm
not going to... All right, it's an O-lineman.
Okay.
It is. Only because it's funny.
Okay. But you're going to go...
It's an anonymous player. I'll tell you who it is after.
Okay.
But I'm just going to read a description of him.
Okay.
NFL.com.
All right.
I assume it's the same writer.
Do we need some music for this or... Oh, we're good?
We got music?
Okay. All right.
No, this is a bigger deal than I thought it was going to be. There's a lot of pressure now. I'm puckering up some.
Well, hang on. We'll hear the Shaq update and Tom. There's a reading from NFL.com. Can't wait. Next.
It's The Drive with Denver Broncos Ring of Famer Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
All right. Von Miller, Tom, he wanted to... He just wanted to take a little fishing trip.
He did nothing wrong. He followed all the rules.
Yeah, he's like, just like, hey, dude, I want to, you know, go catch, you know, a shack or something. Maybe not even
hammerhead.
I don't know. Were they specifically fishing for hammerheads?
I don't know. I just want to say hammerhead.
So he's on a spellbound boat. What does he know? I'm just going to go fishing. And all of a sudden, come on, go get it, come on, Vaughn! He pulls up a freaking hammerhead! Awesome! I just caught a shark! A shark! So what do you do when you catch a 9.5-foot hammerhead shark, Tom?
First thing I do, take a picture and put it on Instagram. That's what I do.
Who knew this would be anything? I mean, I paid the guy from Spellbound to take me out.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
I'm proud of what I did. It's a bloody mess, but,
The boat owner was more than happy, too. He must have been ecstatic that Vaughn was able to land this.
Well, apparently there's a problem. You need permits to catch sharks. But...
Vaughn doesn't.
Vaughn does not.
The boat owner.
That is correct. And so this has come to a conclusion. Vaughn is not guilty of anything.
He's exonerated. He did nothing wrong.
Yes, the owner of Spellbound has to pay a $2,000 fine.
Mm.
And that's yeah. that. So
you'd figure the onus is on the boat owner.
Yeah. So Vaughn, it's over with Vaughn. So I'm glad that's in Vaughn's past, and Vaughn could just be Vaughn. Because we all just want Vaughn to be Vaughn. That's the most important thing. All right. With that, as long as we cover that news, it is time to have Tom Nalen's breakdown of NFL players.
So I pulled this off NFL.com.
Okay.
And it describes pros and cons of every player basically in the draft from round the first pick to the last pick.
Okay.
I want you to tell me if this is the same person.
Okay.
This particular player, O lineman, punches with straight, stiff outside hand. Another one, inside hand needs to become more consistent. That was a pro and con.
Okay.
Inside hand, is more this, consistent. Is that's
this,
a con.
Is this making sense to you?
Pro is punches with straight, stiff outside hand. That's okay. a strength.
Okay.
The con was inside hand needs to be more consistent. Right. Next one, strong hands can snatch and secure opponents.
Does that mean hold?
That's a pro.
Okay.
Con, hands too wide in run game.
Okay.
That's a con.
Uh-huh.
Pro, smart hands resets in recovery blocks.
There's a lot going on with the hands here. Okay. Con?
Con.
Yeah.
Needs to reset hands for improved leverage as drive blocker.
Isn't it the same thing?
No, it's the opposite.
All right. Well, you know what I'm saying. It's okay. Keep going.
No, those were three pros and cons.
It sounds like the same. It's like one thing, but it's the opposite.
It's the opposite.
Right.
Is it the same player or a different player?
It'd have to be a different player. It's got to be a different player.
You'd think that.
Yes, it's a different. It's two different players.
Right. It's not. It's Dalton Risner.
So what does that mean?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Much like footwork diminished versus Mississippi State as game wore on. What?
Is this the same review or two different reviews?
Same review, same writer, pro and con.
But he's writing...
Pull it right off NFL.com.
He's saying one thing and then...
That's the beauty of it.
And then it's the exact opposite.
Every player that I looked at, it was the same thing. It contradicts pros. It's almost like they had to have 10 pros, 10 cons, and it went on and on. I mean, there were funny things. This guy gets too far over his skis. Not Dalton Risner, but another player. And this is... I mean, I was looking at... It was funny to me.
Were you like, laughing?
Inside laughing. Not outside laughing. But
right. Not Dove Valley laughing.
No. This one. This is still Dalton Risner. Okay. Tell me what this means.
All right.
Cracks the door for strong inside counters to come in.
You tell me. No clue.
Cracking the door?
What does it mean?
I don't know. He's opening the door?
Sounds a little sexual, to be honest with you. I don't know what that means. What is
Wait.
It? What? No. What? No. Seriously, though. What does that mean?
I assume he's susceptible to the inside an inside move.
Okay.
But when he gets an outside move, weight drifts outside in pass sets against speed. Now, I don't know about you, but if you get someone running around you,
mm-hmm.
aren't you going to drift out to
try to block the person? What choice do you have?
You can't stay inside. This is ridiculous. This is the problem with the draft, is you read the stuff, and then you realize, wow, nothing of this makes sense.
Is this the problem with the draft, or is this the problem analyzing offensive linemen from people who...
It's not O linemen. It's
you think it's just everywhere.
Look at Hawkinson's description on him blocking. It makes no sense. I don't know what that is, but apparently he's not a very good blocker.
So is this a
as a tight end?
Is this a scout issue? Do scouts not know what they're talking about?
Whoever wrote this,
how would you write a review for an offensive lineman? What like matters?
Okay, there's a lot of bending. A lot of references to natural bender or mm-hmm. does not bend. And I don't really know what that means because every offensive lineman is able to bend.
Okay.
But if I was going to assess Dalton Risner, I would say he's like a mauler type guy. He wants to actually one of these descriptions is kind of sort of correct. strong hands can snatch and secure opponents.
That's legit.
That's legit, because that's what he does. He's kind of a mauler type guy for a tackle. Now, people will go, well, Garrett Bolles snatches and grabs people.
You know what?
All the time.
It's so funny you say that. When you were first reading that, I thought you were reading a review of Garrett Bolles.
I should have. Susceptible to penalties and getting touchdowns called back and such. But it's weird. It's mirror. Here's another one. These are all Dalton Risner. All the same guy. Mirror limitations once the rush finds his edge. Mirror limitations once the rush finds his edge. Your guess is as good as mine. I don't know what that means. I don't think anyone
knows.
Say
it one more time.
It's almost like they hired professional writers to make it flowery. I don't know what it means. Mirror.
So I'm
limitations.
Mirror limitations.
So he has limitations with mirror. Once the rush finds his edge.
What does
that mean?
I don't know. So if you're looking at an offensive lineman, how are you describing it then? What are you actually saying? Like if you're looking at Dalton Risner, you go ahead. Describe him.
Physical. Probably a guard in the NFL. Doesn't have the feet to be a left tackle. Aggressive. Strong at the point of attack.
Okay.
Can run behind him.
What about his feet? Can you analyze his feet or not?
NFL feet? He's a guard. I think he'd have trouble handling. I told you this before.
Yeah.
In the NFL, it used to be your speed rushers were on the left, so they'd go against the left tackle. That's why the left tackles got all the money. But we saw the Broncos this offseason pay a right tackle a bunch of money because Von Miller types Khalil Max in week two. They rush from the right side. Michael Schofield knows that. And Michael Schofield probably has better feet as a right tackle in the NFL than Dalton Risner.
Okay, I think it's interesting to get through. It's awesome having you here to say what matters and what doesn't matter.
I'm watching him going, what matters is the best thing, the only thing to me that matters is, there's some funny ones. This one, I'm not talking about this one. Operates on short and long pulls with excellent body control and radar to find his foe. An NFL, do you ever say foe?
Listen, I love these reviews. If you want to drop some more.
There's thousands of them. Any position you want, other than quarterback. Quarterback, it gets too like technical, and they talk about drops, and it's very specific to quarterbacks. But this is like generic. They're just like words put together. It's really weird.
Well, I love your dramatic readings. I mean, you can enthral me with that all day.
Finishes with a mean streak. That I like. And that is accurate.
When we come back.
And that's easy.
When we come back, maybe more dramatic readings. We can look up tight ends. And tight ends are a mystery group. You can look that up. Some news. The Seahawks have done something interesting. And so have the Chiefs, I suppose. Where is that bar set with what's acceptable and what's not? We'll get to it. More of John Elway. John Elway had a ripper today. He started out saying this is the most useless press conference of all time. Then he dropped bombs on us left and right. You'll hear it coming up.
You're listening to The Drive with Denver Broncos Ring of Famer Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
Here's some of the news today, and we'll get more to John Elway's press conference, which I thought was pretty fun today. The Seahawks agreed to trade their franchise per Adam Schefter, defensive end Frank Clark to the Kansas City Chiefs for a 2019 first-round pick, a 2020 second-round pick, and exchange of third-round picks this year. Frank Clark's got a history, huh?
A bit. Not good history.
It's domestic violence history, right?
Mm-hmm. On paper, though.
Mm.
That's important.
So Tyreek Hill's got his things going on. Chiefs just did a deal for Frank Clark. I mean, they had the horrible thing with the murder-suicide stuff in the parking lot.
Mm.
So I forget that dude's
Belzer,
name.
Belzer? Belzer?
Shoot. I mean, it doesn't really get much worse than that, obviously.
Kareem Hunt.
Kareem Hunt. What's going on there in Kansas City, you think? Do you think it's Belcher?
Belcher,
yeah, that was horrible.
Was close.
Yeah, you were
close. That was terrible.
Where's your head at with stuff like that? Where with teams that bring in these type of guys or have these type of guys?
My initial reaction is every team is willing to take a chance, look past history. I think every team has these guys. You just don't know about it. And they're willing to say, you know, that's in the past. He's a different guy. You know what they say. I mean, mm-hmm. It was a mistake. It's hard for me to, I'm sure I played with guys that I didn't even know did some of these things and was friends with them. So
what's the responsibility of clubs then?
Do their work. The background checks, they do them. The Chiefs know. They knew about Kareem Hunt. They just didn't have video proof.
Would you have Kareem Hunt on your team?
No. Hitting a girl, kicking a girl, going back to kick her.
Forget it.
No, I don't care how good he is.
So what about the Browns?
That's their decision. It's not mine. You're asking me.
I'm asking
the Browns
you.
Said,
yeah.
The Browns said yes.
Do you look differently at teams that say yes to
I don't,
that?
No, I can't because that's... I can understand why. They think that he's going to be a model citizen and he's going to help our team win. He's good in the locker room. He's put this behind him. It was one incident and it was a mistake. I mean, we're our second chances,
mm-hmm.
but for me, would I want to play with him? Probably not.
How'd you play with Dale Carter?
But he was different. He was.
What were his issues? His thing?
I heard rumors that gang issues and things like that. Mm-hmm. And his car was all shot up one time when he was playing for the Chiefs. And mm-hmm. my problem with him was that the year before he played, the Chiefs used him as a receiver. And it was a run play. And right off the line of scrimmage, he chop blocks Lionel Washington,
mm-hmm.
like a cornerback, a fellow corner. And it seemed like a dirty play to me. And that was my problem with Dale Carter. It wasn't his history of gang, because who am I?
Right.
Domestic violence is different for me.
Okay.
Personally. I mean, some people might not care.
So, like, when it comes to the domestic violence, you just don't want that guy in your locker room at all. If you just got other issues, you know, I just don't want to be friends with you.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And
because I don't understand domestic violence. I don't understand how it happens. So
when the Broncos signed Pac-Man Jones, what'd you think last year?
Bad. Why?
You thought that instantly.
Why?
Right.
Is he that good?
Well, he wasn't actually. He had been hurt, actually.
No. He was hurt his first day of practice. Didn't he get hurt away?
There were like legitimate football reasons to say, you know, never mind his sordid past.
Sordid? I mean.
Off the charts,
it's
right?
Right. Like none other. Well, other than Ray Lewis.
AJ Johnson. You see this cat? You know this guy who's on the...
Yeah.
He was found not guilty.
Is that enough? I don't know.
Is it? You tell me. In your world,
because they didn't have enough proof. He said, she said type thing.
The details that everybody agreed to in court are incredible. I mean, it's just like, you got to be kidding me. Like, you know, you're saying that this all did happen, huh?
Parrish Cox.
Parrish Cox to me was the most disgusting one.
I know you sat through the trial.
Every day. Stunned. My respect for Harvey Steinberg went through the roof because I've never seen somebody more guilty of what he was accused of, in my opinion.
Harvey's a magician.
And he convinced that jury that Harvey did his job very well. But, you know, you knew what the truth was. At least I thought I did. The Parrish Cox to me...
If it does go to a court of law and they're found not guilty, maybe that's different.
Yeah. I can never be
but
okay.
Ray Rice, when I'm seeing it on video,
yeah,
punching a girl square in the face, that's... I don't know what that is.
That's amazing.
That's a different level.
Is that your phone?
My phone doesn't sound like that.
How is it possible that...
That's my iPad.
Oh, your iPad?
I think that's like a FaceTime thing. But I can assure you it's not for me. It's like my wife's phone and my iPad are like linked up or something. Right.
This is a good moment to probably pivot a little bit.
And bring some levity.
Sure. Sure, you can go back to the shark story if you want. Hey, real quick, and we'll get into John Elway's press conference.
This ball is hit to left center field and deep, and it is gone. How about that for career hit number 1,000? Rockies take the lead. What a night for Nolan Arenado.
So he gets his 1,000th hit on a home run.
Ah, that's cool. Go-ahead home run, too. Pretty sweet.
He didn't even realize, you know, what he had done. I believe that. I don't think he really sort
of... put the team in front, or...
No, he didn't know that was his 1,000th hit, yeah.
You don't think...
No, actually, I do not. I think, you know, I believe him when he said he really didn't know it at the time. I do believe that.
Doesn't every player say that?
No.
Oh, I had no idea.
You think he's fibbing about that? You don't think he's telling the truth?
I think he had an idea where he was at.
I think he thought he was close, but he might have just not been really keeping tabs on things during the game. Although he's only three away.
You don't think he was 997? Yeah,
I gotcha.
I got two hits. That would put me at...
you could be right.
That's the way to do it, though.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
But a walk-off would be the one...
It wasn't the play of the game, though. Oh, it was incredible. But the most it was, you know, I shouldn't say it wasn't the play of the game. It wasn't the most remarkable thing that happened last night. The most remarkable thing is on the final play of the game, because it was a close game. When Arenado backhands the ball, steps on third, throws it over to first base. I don't think they had a shot at getting a double play like that, because I just thought Nolan was too far off the base. The most unbelievable thing was the splits from Mark Reynolds. That was unreal. Did you ever think in a million years Mark Reynolds could do that?
I've seen him play do that before.
That was unbelievable. I have never seen that before.
You've never seen him?
Mm-mm. I did not know he had that kind of flexibility, that sort of
ability.
He's
older now. He's going to be feeling that.
Dude, that was incredible. You know, I joke around saying Mark Reynolds to me is like the world's best softball player, because he just looks like that type of guy.
I love him.
He looks like the guy that you see in the parking lot. He's got his cooler. He's got his beard. You know, it's the untucked t-shirt and the baggy shorts. Maybe he still has the stirrups because he's really good at softball. And he's like understated, and he just rakes in every single softball game. And you look at him, you're just like, are you even an athlete? And he is, not only is he an athlete, he's like the best athlete. But he's very sneaky. He does sneaky, unbelievable things. You know, he hit a home run to deep center last night, barely swinging the bat.
That's sort of what he does, though.
It is incredible watching Mark Reynolds succeed in Major League Baseball year after year after year.
His strikeout rate is pretty high. I will say that. But I do love him.
Right, because you're the world's greatest softball. You shouldn't even be there. There are so many reasons.
His glove is so underrated, though.
He's unreal. He was. How many teams have just given up on Mark Reynolds and teams go back to the scrap pile and he comes through?
The Rockies have given up on him.
Yeah, a couple times.
He's like a cockroach, though. You can't kill him.
It's unbelievable. I just love guys like that, right? Like, just guys like that are amazing. They feel like they're so valuable.
They give you hope that you could do that.
That's the softball guy.
Yeah.
Because everybody can play softball. You know that guy at softball games. You know the guy who's just, he was just this close. He just needed, he got injured or a bad coach or something. You know, he's in like six different softball teams. Maybe he has a tattoo of a softball on his shoulder. You know, there's something.
He's got the red and white Playmate cooler he shows up with.
Right. He's always talking about another game that he plays for another team or some other reason.
He's all sweaty from the last game.
Right. Well, for whatever reason, whatever game you're playing in with this guy.
He's switching from one shirt to another. He's a painter there. He's a plumber here.
It just so happens that guy's, you know, a Major League Baseball player. He's unbelievable. It's KKFN, KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver. I love Mark Reynolds. Love that dude.
I love him. He's got a great
Did you
glove.
See Nolan's expression after he made the play? Nolan couldn't believe it. Nolan was laughing. He was laughing that play just happened. Watch it. It wasn't a great throw. I mean, it was a really hard play to make because Nolan had to throw it on the run, and that should not have been a double play. In fact, it could have been really dangerous because the ball could have easily just skipped on past the guy from second, or, well, no, I suppose it would be the guy from first. He could have made it to, like, third base at least, something like that. You could have had runners on second and third easily with two outs, up two. I don't know, man. It was just it was awesome.
I've seen him stretch before.
I have not. That
and
was
I'm amazed every time. Because you just don't see it. You don't think it's going to happen. And he's older. He's getting old.
All right, John Elway today. John Elway started the press conference.
Most irrelevant press conference. Well, just so you guys know.
What about quarterbacks, John?
What about them?
Good thoughts.
They're on the board.
There you go. What were your takeaways from John Elway's press conference today?
Nothing. Outside of the Chris Harris
days. I thought the Chris Harris stuff was unbelievable.
Yeah, that was the only newsworthy part of it. I just don't like how he handled it.
Let's go through the Chris Harris
stuff. Sort of immature.
Here is... just the general question about Chris Harris.
I don't have time right now, so we're.
Yeah, this is. Are you working on it? Or is there something going on with it?
I don't have time right now, so we're busy with the draft, and we'll talk about Chris. He's on the contract, and so we'll talk about that when the draft's over.
Stop right there. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
What he just said right there, no problem with, and he stopped.
Yeah, he was done. And the media was done.
He wasn't.
Yeah, so I don't have time right now. So we're busy with the draft, and we'll talk about Chris. He's on the contract, and so we'll talk about that when the draft's over.
All right, so you think it's done.
Everything's fine.
Okay, it all makes sense.
I have no problem. He was asked a question about a specific player. He's on the contract.
Right.
The draft is coming up.
Right.
We're good, right?
And you can hear the media's, you know, somebody
they're
else.
They're moving on.
Hold on.
But I just want you to say something. When I say this, I said we're going to talk about it. That doesn't mean we're going to do anything.
Right there.
Wow.
There's the problem.
What does that mean?
He's go either way. He's under contract. He can play it out. Talk about it. Trade. Or extend. But it didn't sound very positive from his standpoint. We're going to see what their people want.
Right.
They don't know yet. You have no idea.
Right. The whole time thing is interesting, too. Like, why don't you have time for this?
He hasn't even spoken to the head coach about who they want to draft yet.
Vic Fangio.
Good on the defensive side and had a lot of success there. So, obviously, you know, we're getting to know what he does defensively and on the personnel side. So, yeah, there's a lot of conversation with Vic and what he's looking for. And plus, he's proven that he's been very good on that side.
Yeah, and then I know what you're talking about. We'll get to here in a second. Because he said that, you know, talking with the coach is, I don't know, it just hasn't happened yet.
In regards to the draft,
yeah. Here's what he said.
No, it's the same. I mean, everybody has the input. All the coaches have had their input. We've had everybody rank all the different positions and have involved the coaches as well. And then Vic will be right in the middle of it also, too. So, you know, I haven't had a chance to sit down with Vic, but once we get closer, we'll sit down and start talking strategy and what we're looking at.
So you're not talking about Chris Harris Jr.'s contract.
Don't have time.
Don't have time to talk to the head coach about who we're drafting here in less than 3 days now. So what has he been up to? How do you not have time? That's your job. Your job. The GM's job isn't during the season all that much. Yes, Tuesdays you get guys in for workouts.
What else is there?
This is your time to work.
We've been obsessed.
Assess players, sign players in free agency, take care of your own players or let them go in free agency, draft.
Yeah, but how have you not had time to talk to the coach about your philosophy for the draft?
I'm not sure.
Like, what exactly is, I mean, how busy could you possibly be?
Oh, what is he doing?
I don't know. You know, I know Fangio is...
He's not doing negotiations.
No.
And he's not doing draft.
No.
What else is there?
I don't know. He's not coaching out on the field.
Standing on his balcony, watching practice maybe.
Sure.
A couple hours.
He drifted. I saw him. He drifted into the, you know, they built a $30 million practice facility, so they use it now. Even though they don't really have to, but they use it now.
Never understood that.
I don't know if we have time. Time. Do we have time?
Big day. Doing what?
Well, actually, pretty nice little Saturday. We're going to go to Home Depot. Yeah, buy some wallpaper, maybe get some flooring, stuff like that. Maybe Bed Bath & Beyond. I don't know. I don't know if we'll have enough time.
Don't know if we'll have enough time.
Frank the Tank, man.
We gotta do the draft. You know, we got Chris Harris.
Will Ferrell just mentioned many more things than John Elway yesterday.
I don't know if we got time. Got a pretty nice little Tuesday going
on. Why play head games with second best player in the team? Maybe.
So that's it. It's a head game.
Isn't it? What else is it? They haven't even started working on it. You'd think you'd want the guy there for the voluntary stuff.
Mm-hmm.
New defense, new coaches. They need to know him as a player. You can watch film all you want. But players have input. They talk to their position coaches.
Mm-hmm.
That should be happening now. There's no doubt if they took care of him back in January, February, March, part of April, he'd be here, right? You'd be here.
Yeah. Here's the tricky thing, too. And I do remember when DT was kind of doing the same thing as Chris a few years ago. It did not go over well with John. Now, he's not like your old buddy, Tom Coughlin. Tom Coughlin just doesn't even care about the CBA at all.
Mm.
He doesn't care about violating rules. He doesn't care about any of it.
He never has.
He's just going to go out and tell everybody you're stupid and everybody should be here. And I don't care what was negotiated by the union, right?
Right.
That's Tom Coughlin.
Yes.
You're 5 minutes early, you're 5 minutes late, or whatever that was.
Why just not have the meeting start earlier?
I had a boss in Colorado Springs. We would do these stupid remotes at car dealerships. And we would have to do all this. I'm just bore you with stuff. So it was a 2-hour thing. But he said, well, you got to get there a half hour early. Because you got to get a half hour early to set up whatever you got to set up. So I just was like, well, why don't you just pay us to be a half hour earlier and just I'll be there on time. He goes, no. We're going to pay you for 2 hours, but you got to be a half hour early.
It's a control thing. Tom Coughlin's all about control.
Just make it, if I got to be there a half, what's the difference? But John definitely had an issue with Demaryius. What do you think about Coughlin saying what he said? I know you go way back with Tom Coughlin. I don't know what your feelings are about
him. He's not going to change. That's how he was with the Jacksonville Jaguars the first time, with the Giants, with Jacksonville, Boston College. He came from Parcells.
Mm-hmm.
He's very strict, black and white. He's blinders on for football. It's football all the time with him.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't understand when people aren't as committed to the game as he is. So he's not surprising at all. There's nothing surprising about Tom Coughlin.
So when he goes out and just blatantly is espousing disregardment for the CBA, you think?
And? Dude, we have the NCAA in college had time limits.
He just blew those off?
No. So you'd go through these mods and you have like 20 periods and you have this girl that would have the cards up in the stands and... You know, it went from 1 to 20. Mm-hmm. Each one was 5 minutes or whatever it was. So practice would be, you know, a couple hours, whatever it was, whatever the limit was. But he would hold up number 3. They tell her, don't turn it. Don't turn that card yet. 10, 12. You know, you're out there 3.5 hours. They didn't care. because that thing only went up to 20. That's what he's going to tell the NCAA. Hey.
So you knew you were breaking rules left and right.
Absolutely. Who are we going to complain to?
Who are you going to complain to?
Who? My accounting teacher? Stick to auditing.
Let's go to Kyle. Hey, Kyle, you're on the Fan. What's up, pal?
Hey, fellas. Just wanted to welcome Tom Allen to Bronco Land, of course.
Yes.
Thanks, Kyle.
Welcome to Bronco
Land. Welcome to Bronco Land.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Tommy, you were you're inspirational to my football days. I'm 25 now, but you're the reason I was a center back in the day. I remember watching you with my dad, huge Broncos fan. Just wanted to welcome you. Glad you're on the show. And looking forward to the draft. And, yeah. Can't wait, and excited to hear you and D-Mac for the next couple years or however many years.
Yeah, well, okay.
Thanks,
well,
Kyle.
This is the deadline.
Sorry for
time's ticking.
Ruining your high school career, but I don't think anybody sets out to be a center.
Tomorrow, right around this time, well, come on. Center's way more interesting than playing guard or tackle.
I was supposed to be a linebacker in college.
What happened to that?
My plans weren't going to be center.
What?
What do I want to do that for?
Why'd you become a center then?
That's where they put me.
Well, first day. Who put you?
My college.
Oh, you were supposed to be a linebacker at BC.
Yes. I was 210 pounds.
Good luck with that.
I've never played center. I was a linebacker.
So you were recruited to be a linebacker?
They said, can you snap the ball? I said, no. They said, well, you're going to learn. And that was it.
Wait. Were you recruited?
As a center?
No, as a linebacker. So,
Iowa, Notre Dame, Penn State, Syracuse.
All linebacker.
Linebacker. I was 210.
6'3", change.
210.
Perfect linebacker. College.
Kind of a big deal.
Well, I was in high school. They assume I would get bigger.
Would you play offensive line in high school?
I did. I played guard.
So who had the bright idea to make you a center then?
Jack McNeil.
Why?
I don't know. I assume they were short on the position. That's what happens. They reallocate players around after recruiting and all that.
They didn't see you as the new Bill Romanowski?
They did not.
Mike Romanowski
just left.
I know. You were perfect. You would have got on the steroids. You would have just followed.
Juiced on up.
You would have been just like Bill. You had Mike Ruth with the zits. You would have done the whole thing, right?
There's a history there for that stuff.
Man, it wasn't the cleanest program Tom Coughlin was running there, but like, we're going to win.
No money, though.
We're going to try to win. Flutie's gone.
Yeah. So thank you, Kyle.
Here's John Elway on the quarterback. So John is promising a quarterback, by the way. Here we go.
Well, I think we're going to look at it and see what's available once we get through the draft and see how the draft goes. And then, we would look at possibly bringing in another veteran or even a younger guy for competition. But we'll have four in camp. We have three now. So we will add another quarterback, whether it be through the draft or...
Anticipating drafting a quarterback somewhere in the draft?
No. I said we're going to fill another quarterback spot, whether it be after the draft or in free agency as far as a veteran or whatnot.
That was interesting.
And what does that mean? This was an interesting press conference, I'm telling you. He came out and said it was going to be really boring, and there was a lot of interesting things.
One of his better ones here.
Yeah. So let's recap this for a second. You're going
to... Well, he said, we're going to wait to see how the draft goes. And then after that, depending on how the draft goes, we'll bring in, we want to have four quarterbacks going into camp.
Well, you could really make that happen yourself in the draft, couldn't you?
Well, he was alluding to that.
So
either the draft via draft or after draft, picking up a veteran free agent.
There's going to be a fourth
guy. College free agent.
There's going to be a fourth guy here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Fine. There's going to be a fourth guy.
Garrett Grayson, Hogan, Flacco.
And who?
Some guy.
So who makes the most sense? Just your opinion. If there's going to be a fourth guy here, let's break this down a little bit. If there's going to be a fourth guy here, what type of guy makes the most sense?
Develop someone.
Okay. What does that mean?
The draft, but not at 10. Your scenario of working back in. The tail end of the draft.
Yeah.
Patriots, Rams, one of those teams that...
And that's where I think you're right. Okay, veteran quarterback who's available now. Are you kidding me?
I don't know who that is.
Who, right, exactly. Who are we talking about?
That's just an arm to bring in for camp.
There's no point for
camp
that.
Camp meet.
You've got Garrett Grayson. You don't need Camp Meade. You don't need a veteran like that, right? They're all gone anyways. There's no guys like that. Okay. Deep in the draft, what's the point? Garrett Grayson, you know, Garrett Grayson was a third-round pick.
Yeah.
It's not like he was some sort of crazy pick. He was a third-round pick.
I believe they were thinking he was going to be the heir to Drew Brees.
Right.
Didn't he get drafted by the Saints?
That's right. Kevin Hogan was, what, fifth, sixth round, something like that? They're paying him $1 million. You got two guys who are virtual fifth to seventh round guys already.
Injuries happen. They don't like quarterbacks. Camp is long. Arms get tired. There's a reason this for.
Okay, I guess. But couldn't you just throw, if everybody's tired, Garrett, have a day?
If they,
you know,
if
go
they,
for it. You're going to throw a million passes today?
If they draft Drew Lock, they're not cutting Garrett Grayson. They're going to keep four.
They are going to keep four. And that's why, where do you get to that fourth guy? Now, you said, and I think you're right, you take a guy just in the second round. What are you doing? You are giving up on Dalton Risner or Mac Wilson or whoever, you know, one of those second round starters.
Something that can help you right now.
That's right.
And for 10 years.
So the thing that makes the most sense is not taking one at 10. That does not make sense. Somehow, some way, trading back.
Pick up an extra pick.
And then trade back 30, 31, 32. And take
somebody.
Somebody.
But if Drew Lock is still there at 31, you have to wonder why.
It's got a big red flag, no doubt. Well, I mean, well, you know.
Because of hand size?
And accuracy, yeah.
Accuracy.
Yep.
More than hand.
Yep. Yeah, it's a roll of the dice. It definitely is. But it's the same thing you would get for a second round guy. But you wouldn't have to give up your second-round pick.
Right, because you're moving back.
That's right.
Picking something up.
So you still got your second-round pick. You still have that. Because we learned with Lamar Jackson that you don't have to give up next year's first round. And you don't even really have to give up a valuable second round. You have to put a bunch of picks together. You have to get capital somehow. So it doesn't happen. I mean, it doesn't happen at all if you just stay at 10. If you stay at 10, forget it. You may as well get a quarterback. I don't know, fifth, sixth round, you know, if you really want a fourth guy, if you really want to even use a pick. I mean, heck, if you want to, you know, then you're just talking about a camp arm, in all honesty. It's a wildfire. And they got Clayton Thorson, Tom, who they seem to like, who they've, you know, been in contact with. They got a guy like that.
Their offense is kind of weird in Northwestern.
You want to see a weird game? I can't believe I even did this. But go watch the Northwestern Duke game from 2 years ago. Because Clayton Thorson got hurt. So he wasn't the same guy his senior year. He really had a pretty lousy. He used to be like a crazy running quarterback. And then he got hurt, and, you know, he wasn't really the same guy.
Didn't Trevor Siemian have a similar
background? Yes. Almost identical. Almost identical.
If you move back to 17 from 10. You pick up a two, extra two, maybe a three.
Mm-hmm.
Dwayne Haskins.
Oh, you tell me.
All day.
At 17?
All day at 17. I feel like at 10, you're wasting too much talent at the front end of the draft.
You know what's fun? You could do that. You could still move back up, and you could take Dalton Risner.
Yeah.
You could do that.
Then you're settling on Connor McGovern center.
If you do that at 17, isn't the pressure way more that this is going to be handed over to Haskins? And isn't Drew Lock or Joe Flacco in the same exact scenario he was last year with Lamar Jackson?
Sort of, but you're moving back to get him. You're not moving up to get him. You're not trading back in to get him. This is a pick at 17 where you're like, we have to take him. He's an NFL quarterback.
Like, that is ridiculous that he fell that far.
He's the only one that I feel great about in the NFL.
How does Haskins get to 17, though? I mean, like,
it's such a... I just don't think there's that great a need at quarterback for a lot of the teams right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason. Otherwise...
It's kind of insane, though, when you think about
it. Which is weird, because usually the crap teams are at the front of the draft, and they need the quarterback. But they were crap teams last year, and they got their quarterback.
Have you changed your mind, then, on Kyler Murray and the Cardinals?
No. I don't think he goes to them.
Did you see Josh Rosen at their
look fleet of foot. Kingsbury's offense, he can do it.
How weird was that event today? Can you imagine?
Mahomes, because Mahomes was his quarterback at Tech.
Yeah.
And Kyle Amari and Josh Rosen. It's like,
it's ridiculous.
There's no comparison. I mean, they don't fit.
If you're the Miami Dolphins, would you rather have Josh Rosen or Dwayne Haskins?
Haskins.
You're the Redskins. Rosen or Haskins?
See, Rosen to me, he seems fragile. Like his when he was at UCLA, he got beat up a lot. Concussions, tossed around, tough.
So you don't think he's a first round guy, Josh Rosen?
He was last year.
But you don't still think he's a first round guy?
No, I think he's a first round talent. I just have worries about his health long term. Long term NFL wise, not.
Yeah, but what's the difference
50.
From this year and last year?
He didn't look. It was a mess of a team, though.
It was a mess.
A first year coach.
Yeah.
And a terrible offensive line. Just a bad team.
So what's Arizona waiting for right now?
Offers?
I was told San Diego's put a second round out there for Rosen right now. And that's not good enough for Arizona right now. What did I say? San Diego? Did I say San Diego? Sorry.
I didn't even realize. Right. It's hard.
Just rolled with it.
I think they've been able to watch Josh Rosen, and they're making their decision now, because mm-hmm. now that you get him on the field, you've had a couple meetings with him. You see him throw the ball, see him in the offense. Kingsbury's been around a lot of quarterbacks.
So is your official opinion here on, so are you all right with Drew Lock or not? Do you not like Drew Lock? You like Haskins more than Drew Lock?
Haskins, all day.
Okay, but what about 31, 32, 30, trading back up?
I like that. As long as you've moved back and you've acquired another pick
right.
in the process.
Right.
Because whatever's left at 10, if my scenario plays out and no quarterback goes before the Broncos have picked,
mm-hmm.
then all your good, your inside linebackers, your D tackles, those, your tight end is gone. All the premium high-end guys that are going to be stars in this league for a decade or more, they're kind of all gone at 10. So if you move back, acquire another pick somewhere and use that pick or another pick to move back up into the first round, late first round. Again, that fifth year option is a great thing for teams now.
Mm-hmm.
Gives you another year, a cheap year. And Drew Lock's there. Man, I don't know. Why is he there, though? Why is he there? There's a reason why.
When we
quarterbacks drop, but they don't drop to the end of the first round.
Lamar Jackson did.
Was he 28? They go 28?
He went 31, I think. Lamar Jackson did. And Lamar Jackson, Tom, beat out Joe Flacco at the end of the day.
Well, he's the future for the team. I wouldn't say last year he was the better quarterback.
Why'd he play in the playoff game, not Joe Flacco?
Because he's the quarterback of the future.
You need to figure out the future in the playoffs?
You're already playing him. Why didn't they play him why didn't Flacco come in the second half?
That's why didn't he?
Because in the future...
The future is now. You're in the playoffs right now. I mean, realistically,
were the Ravens going to win the Super Bowl?
Jeez, I would think if you're in the playoffs, you got a shot.
Well,
you don't after that first half. Seriously, after the first half,
20-3.
I mean, it was ridiculous.
He brought him back. That's good. That's good for the future for the team. And Joe Flacco's going to come in. And go, really? You want me to mop up here?
But that just happened to Joe Flacco.
No thanks, bud.
Mike Kliss speculated that that's the number one reason not to take a quarterback in the first round. You'd be messing with Joe Flacco's psyche.
These quarterbacks are fragile.
Joe Flacco said, I don't care. The guy's going to have to beat me out, that sort of thing. We'll see. We'll see.
So you would come back in to get Drew Lock.
That
is if you stay at 10, you don't pick up another pick, you're trading a 2. Just A2,
yeah.
Nothing else,
right.
To get back into the first.
Yeah.
You're taking Drew Lock.
Yes.
And because no O-lineman.
Because I get that fifth-year option. I get,
We got Devin.
Who am I taking at 17?
We didn't go to 17. We stayed at 10.
Oh, we stayed at 10 and we got back up anyway. We figured it out.
We got Devin Bush at 10. Inside linebacker. He was there. We had to take him. Now you're giving up a second-round pick to get back into the first.
No, I'm not.
So we have no alignment.
I'm not doing that. Nope. Not
this is only contingent on the Broncos moving back.
Right.
Acquiring something.
Right.
Using that.
Right.
Flip it.
Because I'm getting an offensive lineman. I'm getting Garrett Bradbury or Dalton Risner no matter what. And that's not going to take a higher precedent over.
We can get both. Bradbury,
hey,
17.
I'd be fine.
Risner, 41. And a quarterback?
Well, where am I getting a quarterback?
Well, you're picking Bradbury at 17.
17's Bradbury.
Right, we've moved back.
Okay. Okay.
So now we've acquired a third round pick.
Okay.
Rams are like, dude, we don't want Drew Lock.
Okay.
They'll give up 31, take your third. We still have 41.
I still have 41?
Why wouldn't
okay.
you?
So I'll take Bradbury.
We've acquired something for moving from 10 to 17.
Hold on. Can I get Bradbury?
Risner's still there.
Bradbury move up for Lock and get Risner in the second round somehow?
At 41. Well, we'd probably have to package to move up. We need 41. 41's not. Reisner's going to be gone at 41.
That's the question. Would you give up your first-round pick from next for 2020? That's where you get in that conversation. That's interesting.
For a high second?
Yeah,
then
to get Risner.
Then you're betting that, our first next year is not going to be very good.
That's right.
So we're
but that works
that
well. That,
that's, 10 and 6.
That's right. That's right. If you're betting on yourself and you can get two starting offensive linemen and Drew Lock...
It's win now.
Vic
Fangio is not here to win 10 years from now.
This is The Drive on the Fan.